My subject for today is back of the line. If there's one thing us British are good at, it's queuing up, isn't it? Isn't it? I think we are probably the best nation on earth for queuing up, for joining a queue. I think it's our sense of fair play, isn't it? That we want everybody to be served in line. If you're there first, you get served first. If you arrive last, you're at the back of the line. And we're really good at that. Some other nations are not. How many people have ever been to a nation where queuing is not the custom and it's a scrum? Yes. Is Colombia like that? Is it? That's interesting. We wait in line. But doesn't mean we don't want to be first in the line, does it? If you're at a supermarket, do you go to the checkout where there's the longest queue? Of course you don't. You look, you assess, and you go for the one with the shortest line at it, the shortest queue, the smallest number of people. And it's the same with other things. It's the same like these motorway tolls. You know, when you go to France, every so often, the péage, you take a ticket, you drive on, and then you get to a checkpoint where the end of a particular toll period is up. You put your ticket in and they charge you, and you put your... So, you weigh them up. You look, you see which one's got the shortest queue, and invariably, there's somebody, it looks like a really short queue, one car there, you pull up behind it, and that's the car who hasn't got any change, or has his credit card is dud, or he's lost his ticket, and he gets out of the car and he holds you up. We don't like being held up, but, you know, we do join the queue. I can remember one time, the Mayberries and the Wales family went on a holiday, skiing holiday, to a place in France. Now, you have to forgive me for this, but this is absolutely true. The name of the place was Urin, spelt exactly the same way as you would spell urine. I don't think they pronounce it quite like that. But we went on this, we drove all the way down to the Alps in France. And I have to say, Barry got a bit frustrated because it seemed on that particular trip he always chose the péage toll that held him up the most. I mean, it got so bad at one point I could no longer hear the strains of Kumbaya, my lord, coming from his car. I think he changed to something a little bit more like that, something a little bit harder than that. But yes, we do, we like to queue in this country, but we would prefer to be at the front of the queue. Now, we're going to go back in time. 1957, in Belfast. This is not the actual line, but it's a bit like it, that's what it looked like. And I had been enrolled into Greenwood Infant School in Belfast. And we had to line up at one point, came in from playtime. We didn't get much of a playtime, but we did have a little bit. It was hard, it was harsh in those days. Yeah. And the line was waiting, and I was a little bit late on the line, and I just thought, well, it's much more convenient if I just position myself at the front of the queue rather than at the back of the queue. So that's what I did. I got to the front of the queue. That's probably me there, wearing those glasses, is it? That's great. And Mrs. Devlin, our teacher, because I was 4 years old, she said, "John Mabry, what are you doing at the front of this line? Get to the back of the line now!" Can you feel for me? A sensitive young man, 4 years old. They were very hard in Belfast. They still are. I was sent to the back of the line. I learnt that actually you don't go to the front of the line, you go to the back of the line. Anybody ever been to Disneyland Paris? This is one of my favourite rides at Disneyland Paris, Pirates of the Caribbean. That's what spawned the series of movies with Johnny Depp. This ride, yeah, the movie, you know, the ride wasn't after the movie was after the ride, strangely enough. And Being in Paris, you get people from all over Europe coming. And some of us, group of us, family and friends, we were going into this. And if you've ever been in that, you walk down a load of tunnels. It's the usual thing. Disney tried to make you wait a long time to get on the ride because it's so, the queue is so great, and you go backwards and forwards and through all sorts of little alleyways. And there were a party of Italians. Now, no offence to any Italians here. There usually are some, aren't there? But the Italians also haven't got the idea of queuing. In my experience, I'm open to correction. And when a bunch of Italians go by you, and you're actually waiting, and they're sort of pushing through, it's the time for the British to join forces and put this wrong to rights. We believe in queuing. We also believe in enforcing queuing for those people who are not particularly fond of the idea. You get the drift. So a group of us, there's like a tunnel with some very rough rendering on the walls. We linked arms and we walk along. And a few Italian lads try and get through. And as they try and get through, we just ease over to the side they're trying to get through. And so they dart down the other side. So we just ease over that way. And if they intend on getting through, and a few of them did, they got very badly grazed arms as they walked through this very rough old sort of passageway. We don't like to queue, but we do it. Back of the line. Now, here's another little anecdote I can tell you. My brother lives in Bermuda, which is really a lovely, lovely place. And one time he invited us out there. And he said, well, have you ever tried helmet diving? And of course we said, no, we have not. What is helmet diving? And he said, well, you put these helmets on your head and they're fed from air from above. It's a bit like, and you go down into the water. It's a bit like putting a cup into water. The air pressure inside displaces the water. So you put these helmets on, you can stay down for ages because they're pumping air into it from above. And we went down there, Captain Hartley and his team. Now, here's what we did. My brother, although he's British, does not believe in queuing. And he organised this trip for us. And so, basically, he said, right, we need to go. The boat's about to leave. So the boat was sitting there full of people wanting to try Captain Hartley's helmet diving just off the coast of Bermuda. And our party arrive, and we go straight on the boat. The moment we're on the boat, they cast off and off they go. No queuing. We went out and we did. And strangely enough, guess who was first to be down for the helmet diving? It was our party, because my brother had bribed the captain, basically. And so we got down and we did our helmet diving, and we met, you know, Charles the Hogfish and all this. It was absolutely wonderful experience, lovely warm waters. And then the time had come for our little session to finish, because I couldn't take everybody down at once. We get back up onto the ship, and I see a small boat, one of my brother's boats, right alongside. He said, right, get your souvenir DVD and we're getting off. So we arrived the latest, we got off the first, and all the other people were sort of, what? How did they manage that? Purely because my brother decided to bribe the captain. Queuing, back of the line. And I just want us to, God's got something to say about lining up and being at the back of the line. And I want us to just look at that today. Samuel, one day, was told by God to go to the house of Jesse and to anoint one of his sons to be king. And it says in this scripture here, when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. Samuel arrived at Jesse's house, and Jesse has 8 sons. And he gets to the first one and he says, this is the one. He's the strong, he's the oldest, he's the tallest, he's the wisest, he's the one. God doesn't do that. And he went through, the next son comes along, and And eventually, Jesse runs out of sons, and Samuel says, "Are there any more?" He said, "Well, there is one, yeah, the young, you know, the nipper, David. He's out looking after the sheep." Samuel says, "Get him along." And God says, "That's the one. David is the man I want. He's a man after my own heart." We look at the visual appearance, the outside. I look at the heart. I look at what's inside. God went to the back of the line to pick David. Why? Was he anything special? Yeah, it says he was a handsome young man. But more than that, he was an obedient young man. His dad says, "Go and look after the sheep." Wasn't the most glamorous of jobs. It was a bit dangerous at times, because David says he fought off some wild animals that were coming to take the sheep away. But he was obedient. God chooses from the back of the line. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. God goes to the back of the line to pick the people he wants to use. We want to be at the front of the line, and God looks to the back of the line. The one who on first glance and even second glance is not the one you would pick. And how many times have you known people who God has used mightily, and they wouldn't have been the one that you would have picked? I would say time after time that happens. Because there was Saul before that. Before David, there was Saul. And Saul was demanded to be a king. Well, not just Saul, but the people of Israel demanded to have a king. God said, no, you don't need a king. But they said, "We want a king. Everyone else has got a king. We want a king." And so Saul was anointed. And Saul was good. He was a good man. He was a good king to start with, until he decided that he was at the front of the line. He was ahead of God. Until he decided that he was too big on the inside, and that God became smaller on the outside. And he decided he was probably a bit better than he knew better than God, and he would do the things he wanted to do, and he went his own way. And when he became too big, that's when God could no longer use him. He became too big in his own eyes. God could no longer use him. That's why David was brought along. And it says here, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. And Samuel himself, the guy who anointed David, ought to have known that. Because Samuel became this great prophet in the country. When he started off, he was just a little lad. He'd been just put into the care of Eli. And normally it would have been Eli's sons who took over from Eli. But Eli, his sons were terrible. They were shockers. They really did go away from the Lord. And so this young boy, who again you wouldn't choose, God chose him and called to him. Didn't call to Eli. He called to Samuel. God chooses from the back of the line. And at the Last Supper, at that time the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus answers them a little bit. He takes a child and he says, "Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus had things to say about the queue as well. He says, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And again, this struggle was going on with the disciples. Who's going to be the greatest? Come on, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus says, you need to be like this little child. You need to be, as everyone thinks, at the back of the line. You need to be humble. And you know, we hear of so many of these high-profile Christians who go wrong. They get into immorality of various kinds, some of them. And I really believe it's because they think they are something special. Some of them earn a lot of money. Well, they take a lot of money. Some of them travel in their own private jets. They can't do it any other way. It was the only way they can indulge in their ministry, if they have their own private jet or they travel first class everywhere. Can't do it without that. This is nonsense. What did Jesus have? And it's when people, and it could be any of us, when we think we're some special case, and we think we don't have to go through the same thing as the rest of the people go through, and we don't have to be honest before God, and we don't have to admit we're wrong, we don't have to come under scrutiny and come under the accountability that we ought to. When we've got too much power, when we build ourselves up too much and we're too big on the inside, then we open ourselves up to going wrong and falling. In the kingdom of God, it's humility. We're allowed to boast, but here we're only allowed to boast. It says, may I never boast, as Paul saying, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Yeah, we don't boast of ourselves. We boast about Jesus because he is the all-sufficient one. He's the one who has everything in his eyes and in his control. And that's the message that I want to give to you. We can boast in Jesus. And you may be feeling, well, I'm no use, I can't do anything. I really am the back of the line. Well, that's good, because if you're at the back of the line, then Jesus can use you. You may think, I've got no talents. I can't do it. I can't speak publicly. I've got no musical talent. I've got no qualifications. I've got nothing. And you might find someone else who thinks they're at the front of the line. I'm highly qualified. I'm gifted. I'm a great personality. I'm good with people. And, you know, I can... You know, God can use the person at the back of the line, the one you wouldn't choose, the one who's humble. If you're feeling like that, let me tell you, if you are willing, God can use you in a mighty way. He does not use all of us in the same way. That's an important thing to get. He doesn't use all of us in the same way, but he does use us to his glory, if we're willing. The worst thing we can do is say, I'm at the back of the line and God will never, ever use me, so I've no point in even thinking about it. That's not true. You might think, I haven't got a lot to offer, but I'm offering it to you, Lord. Can you use me? And I tell you what, he will. And again, a dispute also arose among them. This is at the Last Supper. Again, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be considered the greatest. Jesus said to them, the king of the Gentiles lorded over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Get that? The one who rules is the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And Jesus, although he was the Lord of glory, took upon himself the position of being the very, very humblest of all servants. Not just serving at a table, but washing feet, which is the lowest servant you can get. God chooses from the back of the line. And just one last verse I want to leave you with, just to encourage you, and just to show us that we, of ourselves, are pretty feeble. But just any one of us who puts ourselves at God's disposal and asks him to show us where he wants us to work, what he wants us to do, we can be a mighty power for God through him, because the Spirit of God dwells on us. I just want to read this last verse, these last verses, just to leave you with. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So if you feel you're at the back of the line, that's probably a good thing. If you're at the back of the line and you're willing to be used by God, that's a very powerful thing. God chooses from the back of the line. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can learn from Jesus, who, Lord, who he's not just the Son of God, he's also God. And yet he humbled himself to wash feet, to go the places that nobody wanted to go, to touch the people who nobody wanted to touch, to cross the line, to humble himself to death on the cross. Lord, I just thank you that we follow a mighty Saviour. And Lord, I thank you that he's willing to use us in his plan. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, if we become like a child and humble ourselves and put ourselves in your control and at your disposal. Father, I just thank you that you have chosen every one of us. And Lord, I pray the Lord that you would use us and that you would speak to us and tell us how you want us to be and what you want us to do for you. Lord, I pray you would keep us of one mind and unity in this church, that you would just build us up together in love. And Lord, who can tell what mighty things can be achieved with people who are putting themselves content to be at the back of the line, but put ourselves in your hands. Bless every one of us, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.